You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job has begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino with our final five exit interview special for Survivor 42. This is one of the most fun podcasts that I get to do each season of Survivor, where we're going to have interviews with all of the final five here today, including your new Survivor winner. And that is none other than Marianne Oketch. We're going to talk with Marianne. We're going to Oketch up a little bit and hear everything that Marianne thought about this season of Survivor and everything else that comes along with that. Then we're going to hear from our second place finisher. That is going to be none other than Mike Turner, who ended up coming up short in the final tribal council. We'll see how he is feeling about everything. And then our third place finisher, we'll hear from Romeo Escobar. We'll hear from Jonathan Young, and Lindsay Dolasewicz will also be here in our final five exit interview special. I have video with the final five for the first time ever, as I'm podcasting from my apartment. Once upon a time, I used to have a live finale and I used to go there and interview the contestants, but that is a distant memory because we don't do that anymore. The finales are all going to be in Fiji. And so for the first time, we have video with our final five finalists. That is up on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Make sure you subscribe because we put a lot of our videos up there as well. And of course, make sure you subscribe to our podcast feed, robiswebsite.com/subscribe. I'm going to be with Jenny Autumn later on today. We're going to answer all of your remaining season 42 feedback questions in our recap of the season 42 finale. That's going to be coming up later on today at robhasawebsite.com. But now let's hear from the winner of Survivor 42. Let's bring in my interview with Marianne Oketch.
Ring the bell.
Marianne, good morning. Rob Cesternino. So happy to talk to the winner of Survivor 42.
Oh, so happy to talk to the man who is so mad at someone sharpening a machete for too long.
Well, I'm over that. Yeah.
Okay. You're over that? Is that what you said now?
Yeah. I have way more things to talk about now.
Okay. Yes. I know. But let the super fan in me vibe. Like this.
You have all the vibes.
So
you get all the vibes. Marianne, talk to us a little bit about how you're feeling at this hour as the Survivor super fan who knows the name of Samotion. Who goes on to win the game?
I know. Maybe if I watched the last six episodes of Token Scenes, I would have done better in Samotion than just know the name. But I'm doing great. I'm just like living my best life. This is the best thing. I was able to go and watch the finale with my family and my friends. It was spectacular. I'm like on cloud nine, just so at peace with my experience. I'm doing so great. And I'm a little starstruck right now. I'm not even going to lie.
Come on, get out of here. Come on, stop. That's the social game. Come on.
No, it's not. It's not. I promise.
Mary, could you talk a little bit about what it means to you to be the first Black woman winner in 20 years? I caught up with Vesepia this week. She was really in your corner, very excited for you to bring it home. And now here you are 20 years and 1 week later.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I got a little bit of that podcast. It means so much to me because it shows that there's now in this new era, there's more people who are able to have firsts or firsts in so long. Like if you look at our final three combination, Mike would have been the oldest person, I think, since Bob Crowley. And he would have been, I think, the first Puerto Rican winner to go and win. Romeo would have been the first gay man to win since Sandra. Season 15. Yeah. Since what?
Sandra.
Yes. Yes, you're correct. Thank you. Yeah, fact checking me. And then
we'll get emails. Yeah.
Yes. But it's just so nice that like I'm able to be one of the first to have that like and be able to do that for my community. And in the future, I want other people to be able to experience what my community has been able to experience as well. People from different ages, races, socioeconomic statuses, all those different intersections.
Marianne, I thought you did such a great job with the final tribal council in front of the jury. You seemed so polished in front of them and did such a great job of receiving their questions and thanking them and giving them back exactly what they needed to hear. How did you prepare for the final tribal council?
Oh, my goodness. I think starting from the final eight, I started to think about who's on the jury. What do they respect? How do they play the game? How much of my game do they know? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And then I think every single night after tribal, I would count jury votes depending on like how many I have locked, how many I have to swing. Because going into tribal, I'm like, I don't need a clean sweep. I just need five. You just need five. Figure out the five and then just focus on the people who you don't focus on the people who you think you have locked. Focus on the people who you don't think you have locked. And that was the strategy which I had coming into it.
How confident were you when you sat down at the final tribal council?
It was a roller coaster. I came in to final
tribal. And you had your hands like, up the whole time.
I know, right? Look what happened. I came in feeling that I had a very good chance of winning. But then they kept on talking to Mike and asking Mike so many questions. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I must have miscalculated. What did I do? But then when they started to ask me questions and I felt as if I was able to articulate my game more, I felt as if then I had another chance of winning again. So it was like a you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had such an interesting ride over the course of the season. And we got to see so much of you, but we didn't always get to see what you were doing strategically. What do you feel like were some of the biggest things that we didn't get to see in the episodes?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So it was very hard because a lot of times the time in the game, I was a very cerebral player because I would try to strategize with someone. Then 5 minutes later, it'd come back to me. Oh, this person said you said this. So my information wasn't the end. People weren't using me as like a, hey, let me think about where Marianne's thinking. They're using me as a, oh, let me use Marianne's information to supplement what I want to do. And that wasn't the position which I wanted to have. So a lot of times I would be thinking things. And then after, if people said the same thing for me, like, for example, when everyone wanted Hai out or a lot of people wanted Drea out, that was my plan as well, too. But this was good because people wanted it. So it was more their idea rather than my idea. So I knew my information wasn't getting out.
In the beginning part of the game, when you found the immunity idol, the Beware Advantage, and you had to go to the mat and keep saying the phrases, I thought that maybe that changed the way that you were being perceived by the other players. And I felt like that followed you into the game. Did you have that same thought that you have to keep saying those same things? And they thought like, what is this person about?
Oh, yeah. Everyone there thought I was literally kooky. And then after, you know, the love confession on episode 2 didn't help anything with that as well, too. So it was very on brand for me. So coming into the merge, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, this girl's just here for a fun time, a wild ride, which, like I said, is very good for making sure you're able to go farther. But then after, it's very bad because people have an expectation that you now have to subvert rather than them having an expectation of you being a threat and then the challenge being going to the end. So it depends. You have two challenges. Either A, you can go to the end easy, or B, you have a difficult time to go to the end and you have to try to. So you have to choose which one you want to do.
So you were part of this incredible move from at the final six to take Omer out of the game. Can you just walk us through how you arrived at that decision of, OK, this is the spot I have to take Omer out?
Yeah, of course. After the final seven tribal, I actually saw Omer give Mike back the idol. Because at first I was like, oh my goodness, what's this? It must have been Lindsay. Because I remember some conversations that Lindsay said to me about Mike. So I'm like, oh, Lindsay must be a part of it. But when I found out that Omer was a big part of the knowledge's power, like, and like even saw that tangible evidence of Omer giving the idol back, like the veil was lifted. Like I was going and I was seeing Omer being like the bird keeper and like me being like the tweet tweet bird that he was going to take the end. I'm like, absolutely not. Like I was freaking out because I'm like, I don't want to be a goat. Like this is like worst case scenario. Like what's going to happen? Like, ah. So then it was terrifying because at this time, like I said, I didn't really go and like provide a lot of strategy to people. So I was like, I need to make this move. But for this whole game, I was just going and like I'm aligning with other people's moves that also match with mine. So then after when Mike came up to me and said, oh, we need to get Omer out, I'm like, oh my God, thank God. It's like, this is great. It's like, he's on the same page as me. So instead of going and having to go and really convince and push a lot, like multiple people to make this move, instead I could go and be like, how are we going to make this move?
Yeah. And then ultimately, you played your extra vote. And then Omer ends up going home. Such a great moment in the season. At the final five, though, you still have the idol in your pocket, the only secret left in the game. And it seemed like that we were headed toward the situation where, okay, Mike was going to play his idol on you and you potentially were going to save Lindsay with the idol. And you decided not to do it. How close did you come to making that move in front of the jury?
Oh my goodness. I was so, so close. Like I was going to go literally like Mike was going to play the idol and I was going to do like some dramatics. I was going to be like, Jeff, I have this idol. Mike played the idol. So I would play it for him, but Mike is safe. And it's like, then I would have been like, oh, Romeo, you have your fake. You have your idol. We all like a lot of us thought it was fake. So it was like, you have your idol. So you can play your idol. So you're safe. So that means the one I'm playing my idol for is Lindsay. Lindsay, like I like number one ally. I know who you voted for. This is where I was going to make it a very, very big move.
Yeah.
But then I realized that if I did that, there was a chance that Lindsay at Final Tribal could be like, you know what? Marianne, I didn't even know Marianne had played an idol, but because I had that social game, she still played her idol for me. So instead of it being my big, powerful move, she could have subverted it and made it like her move instead. And that was what I was very terrified for.
Yeah. I thought it, you know, obviously the way it played out was perfect. And the way that you really went back to it at the Final Tribal Council worked out much better. But I'm sure it must have been when you have an idol and it's the final night to play it. Like, I'm sure it must take a lot of like intestinal fortitude to not play the idol in that spot.
Well, it was great because Mike played his idol for me. So I'm like, oh, my gosh. Can I get an idol as a souvenir? Mm-hmm. Like, I think I get another souvenir. This is great. And then, and it worked really well because it was also a good strategical move. So it was a win-win.
Yes. Was that the idol that you were holding? You got to keep
it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Got to keep it. Got the note and everything. The idol. I know, right? Mm-hmm. They look so janky now. Not back in your, no, even back in your day. You didn't even know what an idol
You should have seen what they look like in my day, Marianne.
I know, not existed. What? What's this idol thing?
They were a glimmer in Jeff's eye at that point. Yeah. You talked about in the episode about how your family had been divided, and you thought that maybe you being on the show was going to be something that would help bring everybody back together. Do you have any updates?
Yeah, of course. You know, from familial things and any interpersonal relationship things, those aren't band-aid fixes. But I am happy to say my whole family was there watching the finale with me, and like we all got to go and just like really enjoy that as a family, and that really meant a lot to me.
Okay. It seemed like in the beginning of the season that you were maybe on the ropes, maybe to be the person who was going to be voted out instead of Mariah. Do you feel like that was edited as it actually was? Were you that close to going home early in the game?
So the only way, from what I understand, I would have gone home is if Mariah shot in the dark hit. On day two, me, Jonathan, Lindsay, and Omer made an alliance. I called it the Taku 4, which is objectively such a bad alliance name because you never put numbers in alliance names.
Yep.
But so when it was when we lost that challenge, it would be the mind was that it was Mariah, especially because she wasn't eating. She wasn't drinking. She was very sick. And like especially after we lost Jackson, we kind of had a fervency for winning. Like we could not lose anymore.
How was your relationship with Jonathan over the course of the game? Because while you were all part of Taku, that definitely seemed like there were times when you two had been butting heads.
Yeah. I feel as if when my relationship with Jonathan always saw me as someone who would call the little one. Like he loved me giving people nicknames, and my nickname was little one, which was so annoying to me because it's like, okay, yeah, I'm small, but it's like, I'm not little. I'm here to play the same game as you. It's like, I have every right. And a lot of times Jonathan, when I would speak with strategy, a lot of times he would go and tell me the strategy rather than let me go and speak and strategize with him as well. With Omer's vote out, like he was more receptive as well too. So that was something that was great. But as a person, very kind, he's like a radiating heat, you know? So when it was raining, like he would be like our, like for a lack of a better term, like our radiator. And like, we just go like get close to Jonathan and get the heat. And we're like, oh, thank God. And he's shivering because, you know, he has 0% body fat.
Marianne, during the rice negotiation, you were one of the last people to go through with being one of the people to sit out of the challenge, and you made, a dramatic plea to the rest of the group, but then told us in confessional, oh, then I can play be emotionally manipulative. And I'm not getting the exact quote right, but can you give us some other examples in the game where that you used emotions as a weapon?
Yeah, of course. A good example of this game is at the final five, before the challenge. Like I said, I really wanted Lindsay to win. So at that puzzle, when Lindsay got it and we all had to work together, I really didn't want Jonathan or Mike to get the clue. So I actually solved the puzzle. So, but I decided not to look for it. And I didn't write it down. And then I went and I was like, guys, I can't do the puzzle. I'm just so emotionally drained. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'll just cook us rice. I'm so, so sorry that I'm like, I feel so bad, but I have to quit. I have to quit. So everyone just thought I was a quitter. And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah. Oh my God. Incredible. Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to have had the response from the fans that you've had this season?
Oh my gosh. It's been surreal. Like, I remember the premiere, going to sleep and waking up and like my phone had blown up and like I'm seeing all these messages from all these people, or like even like, of course, you know, everybody gets hate, but like the amount of such positive feedback that I've gotten, or such the heartfelt messages that I've gotten from people, I would honestly get like 10, 20 times worth the hate if it would just mean that those people would have been touched and affected by me. And I'd do it again.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people were touched the night that you and Drea both played your idols together to make sure that a third Black player didn't get voted out in a row. Could you just talk a little bit of what that night was like?
Yeah, of course. So going into tribal, I was actually leaning into actually voting Tori out because I didn't want Taku to then really have to go balls to the wall at the final eight. That was a little too early from how I felt comfortable for. But I was very close to Tori. But when I saw Roxor and Chanel both on the jury, I'm like, well, now I have to vote for Tori. It's like I felt very at peace with my decision. But then to be able to see like Drea just being like, but this was a decision that was made very last minute. So I think I was the only one who knew that I was going to vote Tori out and Tori was going to go home. Everyone else thought it was going to be Drea. So then it was just an absolute mess because then everyone felt like Drea was going home. Drea thought she went home, but she wasn't going to go home. But then that she was going to play her idol, which of course good for her. But then she was also feeling very emotional in this moment because it was a heavy moment. Then it was raining because apparently Jeff can control the weather when there's emotional moments. So it was a lot.
Now, it was a big part of the season about the storyline of that you never got the chance to talk to Zach in the season.
I never got the chance to talk to... Wait, you got to come in. To this guy you
Wait,
meet?
What is going... That...
How's it going?
Zach, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. If you were listening to the podcast, Zach Wurtenberger is in the frame... And wait, yeah. is there something that you two want to tell us?
So there's something that I want to tell you because of Zach.
Mm-hmm. I'm already on my knee right now.
Oh, so. My God.
We can't do it at the reunion.
Yes, a half Murphy coming up. Yes, yes, yes. Because of Zach?
Yes, because of Zach and my confession to Zach. Zach and I are now very good friends.
Yeah. Very good friends.
But
okay.
Someone... Ooh, I love the bell, but someone actually reached out to me, a skinny white guy who's like, oh my gosh, I actually have a chance. He messaged me before the season and he messaged again. And then I replied and we started talking and we're now dating.
Okay.
And he actually flew up for the finale. So because of Zach, I'm now not single anymore. So thank you for that, Zach, for being on the season.
All right. All right. Well, and I hope that your new boyfriend is not threatened by Zach. Okay.
No, okay. Do you remember my loved one tweets? The one with the loved ones with all of
Zach?
Yes.
Yes.
He made that. My boyfriend made that. Okay. So like he's not threat. Like he's a menace. Like he'll comment on like things that Zach comments and being like, oh my gosh, like you guys would make a cute couple goals. No, he's really great.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, yes.
Can I just say,
yes, Zach.
I'm just so happy that Marianne had yet another thing go right for her. It's really amazing. I'm so happy for her. I had
blessed
to,
life. Yes.
I was in contact with Paramount Plus for the rights to stream our wedding.
Yeah.
But yes. It's okay.
I know. We're trying to be us being the new Robin Amber is kind of a flop. So sorry. I know. Yeah. I should have won like an I Love Zach.
An improved Robin Amber. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
The new era, Robin Amber.
New era. Bookends. All right, Marianne, I know we're running out of time. Anything else you want to let the fans know?
Have six more minutes with me. Don't worry.
Oh, is that official? Yes. Okay. All right. Well, then yeah. Mayor.
You have more time. I am your best.
When you're the winner, you get to call the shots.
I am your best free person. Like, I don't pay for Patreon because I'm a cheap person.
Yes.
But like, I listen to all the free ones that you cast out. Like, yes. When I was like training for Survivor, I was listening to like the Brant Steels that you were doing in the pandemic when running.
Yes.
And like, just like really just suffering. So like, I'm a big fan.
Yes. That's very nice to hear. I had no idea what you're talking about when you said the best free person. I thought you were going to tell me like give me tips on like saving money places.
No. I got you. And yeah. Okay, we're on the same page.
All right. Well, let's not waste these 6 minutes. Could you talk a little bit about at the merge then when you were potentially going to go home? You had the idol in your pocket.
Yes.
You didn't play it. How scared were you that night?
Oh my gosh, like literally my stomach was out my butt. I was freaking out because I really wanted to keep my idol because I didn't want to play it early that early because I really wanted to hold it on as long as possible. And then I had to trust Omer because Omer, like I said, was my ride or die. So he literally told me, Marianne, like the vote was always going to be me. Like it was, and then he flipped it to Lydia. So he said, sit at camp, do nothing, I'll put the work in. And I'm like, I guess so. So I literally that whole day just sat at camp and did nothing. People were wondering, Marianne, why was there no strategy of you saving yourself? I'm like, because there was none. My strategy was sitting down and letting Omer flip the vote. And it was terrifying because you'd see people walk around and you know that the talk is about, let's get Marianne out. Let's get Marianne out. And like, you're just like, it's like you're sitting down and seeing the game happen around you. And then knowing that you can't do anything about it, because if you do, it might blow up the plan and then your game really ends.
We saw also then Tori had spotted that Drea had the red paint on her arm. She came to you and told you about the red paint with Drea. Did that click in your head at all about what was going on with that?
Oh, no one in their right mind would jump and be like, oh my gosh, Drea has red paint on her arm. She must have dunked her hand in a bucket of red paint and then gotten something for an advantage. That makes sense. So Tori and I actually thought she made a fake idol. So what we were doing is if then someone found the idol and it looked like there was red paint, then we would know that there was a fake.
Got it.
Then we tried to use it as well, too, to be like, Dran's not for us. Because like I said, Tori was best friend, soul sister on the island. We would like, they wouldn't let us strategize, but Tori and I would like strategize extensively about what's going on. It's like, you know how you let your kids play like house and like parents, mm-hmm. but like you're actually doing this. That was Tori and I were like, oh, what about the final eight? What about this? What about this? But we had no social capital to do whatsoever.
Yeah. Can you talk about your relationship with Romeo and how close you two had become over the course of the end game?
Yes. Romeo and I was very close with Romeo at the fake merge. He was someone who was very nervous that he was going home. And I genuinely like Romeo. And I like told Romeo, you know, with zero social capital, but I was living my best life with a buff. I was like, don't worry, I'm going to do everything to make sure you're not going home. So we really had a bond and really cultivated, especially because when Tori went home, it was just Romeo and I who were the original people on the bottom. So like, we were just like, oh, we're on the bottom. Like, don't worry. Like, we're making it. We're going to make it to the end. So like, we really had a bond that like kept on going throughout the game.
Yeah. Marianne, it seemed like that Jeff took such a liking to you, and it's certainly understandable why. What did that feel like, that to really seem like that you were one of Jeff's go-to people?
It was odd, because I felt as if it was more like I was his go-to people for entertainment value, because no one would know what would come out of my mouth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So then after, like, I think I remember one time, like, at Tribal, I was telling Jeff how 26 days sucked because it's so hard to become a skinny legend in 26 days, right? So then after...
He didn't like that. Just,
yeah, it was. I still became a skinny legend. Oh, so bad. Don't lose weight like that. That's bad. Don't go on Survivor to lose weight.
Okay.
We can talk to you about that. But honestly, it was nice. It was nice to know that I was liked.
Yeah.
And then it was nice to know that I was liked in a way that people perceived, oh, it's just because she's cool. Not, oh, she's strategic. She's so great, which was like good for me to get to the end as well.
In the finale, you had said that, okay, I got to do everything I wanted to do except for win a challenge. Now, is the itch scratched for you with Survivor, or do you feel like that you still have unfinished business to go back to Fiji?
So the itch, okay. You know, when you have a mosquito bite and you might actually be much more mature than me, but like when I have a mosquito bite, I'll itch it until like it becomes an open sore. Right. Mm-hmm. So then it's stopping itching because you're now bleeding out. But then after when it starts, stops bleeding, then you don't really feel an itch anymore, but then you put a bandaid on, you're like, oh, I want to like reflexively take that. Oh, I don't need to itch it anymore. So basically I'm an open sore when it comes to Survivor, where it's like, of course I can come back, but like the itch is scratched. I don't feel any need to come back anytime soon.
Okay. Would you though?
It depends on the timing. If Jeff called right now, I'd probably say no, because I don't want to do Survivor only multiple times during when I'm young, because I want to have more experiences. I don't want Survivor to just be something I've done in just a short time span.
Okay. Marianne, would love to get the chance to talk in greater detail at some point down the road, if you're up for that.
I'm going to beat your deep dive record.
Okay. Don't threaten me with a good time, Marianne.
Everything. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're both going to have a great time in that deep dive. You trust me, Rob.
All right. Marianne, thank you so much for everything. Congratulations again on the win. I'm really happy for you. You did it for the weirdos, and that means you did it for me, too. So I appreciate that.
Take care. That's another win. Yeah. You see, people said Omer like you. Yeah. What did Omer do? Omer lost. You got to be like
that's right,
me.
Right. Play like Marianne. That's the lesson. All right. Marianne, thank you so much. All the best. Okay.
See you around.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Recording stopped.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye.
Bye, Rob.
Bye, Zach. All right, everybody, there you have it. There's your Survivor winner. It's Marianne Okech. And congratulations again to Marianne, who is just as fun to talk to as she is to watch on the show. Really great exit interview. I felt like it was the final tribal council. She covered so much ground, answered the questions succinctly. I was like running out of questions that I had for this podcast. So really great job by Marianne, who Marianne knew we had more time. Nobody gave me a heads up that we had more time. Not that I'm complaining, but I do hope that we have the chance to talk to Marianne more in the future. She seems up for it. That seems like a good sign. Was not expecting a pop in from Zach Wurtenberger. And so very, very fun stuff from Marianne here on your Survivor exit interview podcast here for season 42. Next up, we're going to talk to a man who came in as second place, our runner-up for the season, and I'm sure we have a lot to get into with the second place finisher for season 42. My interview with Mike Turner is coming up next. Hey, Mike. Good morning. Rob Cesternino here. Congratulations on a really incredible game, Mike. You got right there to the end. Can you talk a little bit about how you're feeling at this hour?
Honestly, I can't be much happier. It was a great experience. It was a great time. You know, if I had to lose to somebody, I'm glad it's Marianne. Marianne is an unbelievable winner. So honestly, I feel satisfied. I'm very humbled by the experience, and I couldn't ask for anything more. I'm a finalist on Survivor, the greatest show ever, and how could I not be happy, no matter what?
Like, were you surprised at the tone from the jury in terms of the questions that they were asking you when you came into the final tribal council?
Yeah, I was very surprised. It caught my jury management wasn't as good as I thought it should have been. And if I'm being totally honest, after I beat Jonathan in fire, I really sat back a little bit and said, holy crap, I just may have won Survivor, because I thought that was the biggest hurdle I would have to face. You know, when you're in the game, it's hard to see what's going on as if you were standing outside looking in. Looking at the season from the outside, I can understand where people would think that a guy that's playing with honest integrity, and yet you have to lie. It's the game of Survivor. It's by nature, you have to lie to get to the end. And how they would see it. Not even, it was my perception, not their perception. So when they came at me that way, I was a little surprised, but I totally understood why they had to do that. And maybe they were trying to do me a favor to force me to say what they wanted to hear. And, you know, it just, I relaxed. I shouldn't have relaxed. I did.
Did you feel like coming into the final tribal council that you had a very good shot to win this thing, or do you think it was up in the air?
I thought I had a good shot at winning. Mm-hmm. Maybe and falsely, then, but that's what I thought.
Yeah. And then by the time that they got to Jeff is going to count the votes, how were you feeling?
I was not confident at all. I said, you know what? Second's not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Can you talk a little bit? I don't think we ever really got what you were hoping to have as your final three along the way. And how many times did that change for you?
It changed. In the beginning, obviously, I wanted Jenny to be a part of my final three. Me and Jenny, probably in the shortest time on the show, on the island, connected the deepest. Me and Jenny will be close forever. And people say, how could you be that close after 6-7 days? It's just one of those things, you know when you know. And then High, I really didn't think I was going to go to end with High. I always thought High was a very strategic player and that he would think that maybe I was too likable to take to the end, which was, I thought, would be a good move. And I always knew or felt that High would cut me off, whether it be 6-5, he would cut me off. And then at the Pizza Under the Stars, I made an alliance with Omar and Lindsay, and I really thought that's who I was going to go to the end with. I had a bromance with Jonathan. However, we never, ever swore to each other. We always felt we would look out for each other, and we got to the final three. It's time to start cutting throats.
If you had won that final four immunity challenge, who would you have taken and what would you have done with the fire-making situation?
That was a dilemma for me because I'm saying, do I try and win this? And I put myself in a position where I take myself and I would have went against Marianne because I honestly felt that she was the only one that can beat me at that point. Or do I care whether I lose or not, which sounds crazy. And I let them, because I knew they were putting me to fire. It was undeniable that they were sending me to fire. And I let them decide my fate, which I knew would be Jonathan. And at least then I could say, I'm going against the best challenge beats of the season, the greatest fire maker that somebody I've ever heard of. I can beat him and there will be a great jury look. And I thought that either way, I would be fine. I would have taken Marianne, though, if that's the answer. I would have taken Marianne because I thought she was the only one that could beat me in the final three.
You would have taken Marianne into the fire and beaten Marianne in the fire.
If I had won, I would have put myself to fire against Marianne.
I think that's the right call because I think that in that final three, and we tried to think about this every single way, I think you end up beating Jonathan and Romeo. Is that how you feel also?
Yes. I'm not saying that because I thought the other two didn't play a better game than me. I'm saying to the jury, they didn't look like the better winner. And that's why I thought I can bring them.
Mike, can I ask about Samotion? Is that
man, can you believe that? You know, I took my eye off the ball. I was ready to go, and then all of a sudden the ball comes and I got anxious. I remember it hitting my face. I couldn't believe it.
Mike, same thing happened to Bill Buckner.
Oh, that's a little, yeah, that's true. And that ended up going great in my favor because my 86 Mets. But yeah, you know what? Maybe that was Bill Buckner getting even with me.
There's karma.
That's exactly what happened. Karma got to me.
So, Mike, could you talk a little bit about what it was like for you to, as you found out about how Marianne had that idol that she had in her pocket and really wanted you to make sure you, hey, Mike, you made a promise to me. You have to play an idol for me at 5, and that she was strongly considering using the idol on Lindsay, according to what we saw in the episode. What was your reaction to finding all that out?
You know, it didn't really matter to me. I felt that I gave Marianne my word. I was always going to play the idol on her. I didn't think me and Marianne actually sat down together and discussed who was best for me and her to take to the end. And we really felt Lindsay had a good shot, had the best shot who was left to beat us. And so realistically, Marianne is a small player and she knew that and I knew that. We were trying to eliminate who can beat us at the end. And at that point, Lindsay was the clear choice. I never thought she would play the idol for Lindsay because it wasn't a smart move in gameplay-wise. We always felt that Jonathan couldn't beat us and Romeo couldn't beat us, and it would be between me and her. So I never considered it, her having the idol. It was okay. I mean, I played the idol because I promised it, and I thought that would be a good look for the jury. I didn't even think she needed it. I thought me and her were totally safe going into there. We had a set plan. I believe Marianne also played very honorably. So when she told me something and I told her, we kind of believed each other.
Mike, could you tell me if there's any big parts of the story that we're missing from what we got to watch on the television show? Like, was there anything that is would be really helpful for us understanding the story of the season?
I think the biggest thing that people didn't see out there was when Omar had found an idol nullifier. None of us knew about this. So when Lindsay and Omar came to me to say, hey, there's this knowledge, this power that Drea has, which has never been played on the show before, I didn't believe them. I'm saying, I cannot go down. Even if they're right, I'm not going down as the dumbest player in Survivor history by giving my idol away on something that they made up. So I was never going to give them that. I said, I'd rather give it to Drea and get caught there than look like a dummy and give it to them. Jonathan comes up to me and says, hey, Mike, you give your idol to Omar. He has to give it back to you. I said, John, why would he have to give it back to me? He's going to keep it, make me look like an idiot. He goes, no, Omar has an idol nullifier. Omar's big play in this game is to take you out at five in front of the jury so he has a big jury splash. I said, oh, my God. And me and Jonathan were very honest with each other in terms of looking out, even though we didn't have a shake hands alliance. So I believed him. So I knew giving the idol to Omar, I'd get it back. We would get Dreher. And then now I have time to figure out how do I combat the idol nullifier coming to five, which that's when I decided to go to Marianne and say, because you look at him, we have to get almost after him. He's trying to get me. We got to get him out. Marianne says, no, I can't because I've been with almost since day one. And so I leave. And I'm saying, like, how can I get her to change my mind? How can I get? So I went back. I said, out of curiosity, do you know about, you know, almost not nullifier? She goes, what nullifier? I said, he has a nullifier. He's going to take me out at five. I said, oh, you didn't know about it? And she said, no. I said, oh, I guess you and him are not as tight as I thought. And I just walked away. And then I mentioned Lindsay's idol. Oh, you didn't know about that? Oh, my bad. I thought they were taking you to the end. Sorry. And I walk away. Marianne thinks about it. She comes and sits down and says, okay, listen, this is what we're going to do. And we were like, whatever you want, as long as you're with us. And I kept saying, Marianne, we have to split the vote. I said, oh, Lindsay has to play her idol for Omar. It's her alliance. It's no good anymore. Why would she not play for him? I thought it was a great move if she did. She didn't. So that's why we split the vote. I don't think they told that story very well, but that was a big part of everybody's demise or great gameplay. And that goes right down to Dreher, Omar, Lindsay, myself, and Marianne, that we all played that together. Then they never talked about it. And I thought it was my biggest move in the game. It was also Jonathan, because Jonathan didn't look like he was a strategic player, though. But Jonathan was the one coming to me, giving me all the taco information so we can go further in the game together.
So really interesting. So if there was no idol nullifier, you would not have given your idol to Omar in that spot, and you would have just let Dreher try to take it.
I thought I would have rather go out with the honor of getting taken out by Dreher than been looking like the idiot and give my idol away, and it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm. And then that night, do you get the sense that like had not gone through? Do you feel like that the group would have voted you out in that spot, or they would have tried their luck at trying to maybe take out Dreher in that spot?
No, I think I was the vote. If that doesn't go through, I think they're looking to make me feel comfortable and take me out.
Okay, well, that makes it an easy decision for you then.
It was a very easy.
yeah. Okay. Because also in the episode, it made it seem like that that you and Jonathan were pushing for, hey, Marianne, let's all just vote for Romeo here, because now that Lindsay has immunity, let's just go with the safe vote.
Well, because they were going back and forth, and I said, hey, listen, if we're going to play it safe, the heck with it. Let's leave Omar alone, and we'll throw four votes on Romeo, and we're done. I didn't realize her and Romeo were that close, and she didn't want Romeo to go. So she was like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm saying we're in trouble if we put all our votes on Omar and Lindsay gives him the other, which is the right move, and it didn't happen. And I said, and then Jonathan goes home, which, or me or Jonathan, but I thought it would be Jonathan, and he goes home, and now I'm on an island by myself, and I got Omar, Lindsay, and Marianne. I know. Guess who's next? Me at four. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, I'm done. So I felt my best move was to get Omar out. And if he has the idol in place, because Lindsay should give it to him, at least Romeo goes home. It's one more number. I got a little bit more of a shot. And Jonathan stays in the game.
Yeah. Mike, what was your reaction to seeing the episode back where on the vote where Hai went home, where Omar told you about how Hai had been saying that you were his puppet, which that was not what he actually had said?
I thought it was a great move by Omar. To be honest, I had never saw it. I didn't find out it was a lie until I saw it on the TV. And at that point, I said, holy crap, Omar played a great game. He was playing a great game. It didn't seem that he was very meek and lovable and a nice guy out there. But meanwhile, he was playing a game that was extremely strategic. And at that point, I said, he's playing the best game right now. I have to get him out. I can't beat him with the strategy he's playing, how well he's playing it.
Mike, have you thought about potentially going back?
Every day I think about going back. I think that I think I'm going to study up a little bit on jury management and get back there so I can play the game better. I need a second chance.
Yeah. What was the biggest thing that you didn't anticipate in terms of how challenging this would be?
I how close the relationships I would make with the people out there and care about them that quickly. I said I was alive for 57 years. I never had these people in my life before. If I got 30 years left, I can live without them again. However, when you go out there and you make these bonds under such duress, it creates relationships that are going to be with me for the rest of my life. I gained a lot of really, really close friends now that I consider family, which I never thought would happen at my age.
Yeah. And you did an incredible job with the social game. It seemed like that you made so many bonds with people. Did you feel like that was going to be something that came easily to you in the game?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing my whole life. I have a look that's kind of a little intimidating. So at a young age, I had to try and disarm people purposely. And that became instinctually for me where I like people in general. When people see me, they're a little taken back. But I generally like people. I like talking to people. I like making friends. I like being liked. Who doesn't, right? And so I like to know what makes people tick. Learning about Omar and his religion was so gratifying. Learning about Marianne and where she came from. And even learning about his world. It all meant a lot to me. And that was all real. I mean, and that was, the easy part of the game. The hard part of the game was probably a little bit of strategic and just understanding that people were going to lie to me. And sometimes I look gullible by believing because I wanted to believe that they were being truthful.
Yeah. Well, Mike, it was very fun to get to watch you play on the show this season. I hope that we have the chance to sit down and have a longer conversation along the way when things are a little less crazy. But again, all the best to you and congratulations on a job well done this season, Mike.
Thank you, Robin. And quite frankly, it's been an honor. You're the Hall of Fame of our podcast for Survivor. This is an honor.
And podcasts, yeah.
Go Mets.
Let's go Mets, right. Let's go okay. Mets. That was a little ugly yesterday.
It was very ugly yesterday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they needed a 3 o'clock game so that way it wouldn't interfere with our Survivor finale.
I could have missed it. They could have put it on during the finale. yeah. If they're going to play like that. All right. Mike, thank you so much and take care, okay?
Thanks, Rob. Have a great day, sir.
All right, everybody. There you have it, Mike Turner. And Mike, you know, good sport, as you would expect from Mike. Tough spot to be in, to, you know, feel like you had it and then ultimately you don't have it. Although as a Mets fan, that is not an unusual occurrence to feel that way. That being said, interesting about the idol nullifier, that is a big piece of the puzzle of that. Mike only turned over the idol to Omer because of the idol nullifier, and then it was explained to him that was going to be Omer's big move, which was coming. And so that's why he wouldn't have just been making up, that Drea wouldn't have just had the knowledge of power to take it. So really interesting stuff from the exit interviews today. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will speak with our third place finisher. My winner pick, Romeo, is coming up right after this.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, Romeo. Good morning. Rob Sestrino. Very nice to talk to you, Romeo.
You too, Rob. And first, let me just say, I'm so sorry to disappoint you being your winner pick. I apologize for making you lose that, that
Romeo,
bet.
Look, I got so much closer than I normally get. So thank you. Thank you for, getting me at least to the final three with my winner pick. But Romeo, I really was feeling so good about the pick. I was looking like such a genius because you had such a great first half of the game. And then it seemed like that once you got to the merge, it seemed like that you just kind of got frozen out. And I never really understood what happened.
We're going to blame the edit, Rob. But what happened was, you're right. I felt like I was CEO over at ICA and I was running things. You know, everyone at ICA at some point was in danger and I could kind of like choose who was going. And everyone was always brought up in conversations except me. Like I was never going to be voted out. So I knew that even if our tribe was decimated, which I thought we would, I actually told Dre, I was like, look at our tribe. We're going to be decimated. So let's plan to at least, if we have to vote everybody else out, let's be the final two. But I knew that regardless of what happened, I would be the last Ika standing. And technically I was the last Ika standing. So I was good. And then going to post-merge at Kula Kula, I felt like I went from CEO to janitor, playing at the bottom. And what happened and what people didn't understand that. And what happened was I had told Drea, I said, okay, this is where we split and don't let people know that we're this tight, Yumi and Roxroy. Let's not talk to each other. Let's go out and branch out, kind of like what Taku was doing. But we did such a good job that Drea started believing it, so much so that she saw me become very close with Tori, which they didn't see. And she was wondering, why is my number one best friends with my nemesis? I can't work with him. So that's why she left me out of that 8-person alliance. And that was what started the snowball effect of my game going to the bottom. And it wasn't my paranoia. I quickly perceived that that happened. And Andre actually told me, hey, there's an 8-person alliance, but don't worry. Me and Roxroy are never going to vote for you. You're the 9th person. We'll just bring you in when it's time. And I'm like, what? Like, no, that's not good. I lost my number one. I could see people pairing off. So I knew I was in trouble. And that's exactly what happened. That I think that was the beginning of my demise post-merge.
Yeah. Well, Robbie, I don't mean to start off on a negative note. First, let me congratulate you on getting to the final three and becoming the winner of the final four challenge. Was that something that you would ever thought that was going to be a possibility? Did you feel like that you had like a challenge win coming up at this end of the game?
No, I mean, the challenges are much harder than I thought. I mean, I remember the first challenge, we're all pumped, you know, we're excited. And then it's like, get the paddles. And I picked up the paddle and I'm like, wait, this is like 100 pounds. Like, oh my God. And I knew right there, I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be harder than I thought. But no, I didn't. But I knew that for that final challenge, I knew that I was going to give it my all because I wanted to prove to not only the fans, the viewers and the jury, but I wanted to prove to myself that I was going to take myself into one of those final three slots. Even though I knew that I didn't have a chance to win, I wanted to prove that I could take myself there. No one had to drag me there as the GOAT. I put myself there and I was really proud.
So you had a big decision to make after you won the final four challenge about who was going to go into the fire. Did you come close to doing it any other different ways?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I thought about different scenarios. For at one point, I thought, you know what? I'm going to put myself to fire and just give somebody else a necklace because I think they showed in one episode where I started the fire. I was actually pretty good at fire. I just didn't, you know, I was not about to help the tribe that had me at the bottom. I'm like, screw these people. They could do their own stuff. I'm going to steal the rice. I was stealing rice and I was like, I don't care about these people. I'm going to steal the rice. I'm not going to help them in camp. I'm going to figure out my own stuff. But I was pretty good at fire. So I thought, you know, I need that extra thing in my resume besides winning the last immune challenge was maybe win fire, pull a Chris Underwood. Maybe it would have helped me maybe not win because I knew perception is reality out there and people's perception, even though it was false, I felt like it was my fault because I let them perceive me that way. So I knew that I didn't have a chance at winning, but at least I was playing for second place. So I thought, And then I thought, you know, my best bet might be bringing Jonathan, you know, because I think he probably won't get any votes. I love Jonathan, but maybe like I knew how he was perceived. So maybe he wouldn't get any votes and I would at least get second place against Mike or Marianne. So I send him to fire with Mike thinking Jonathan has this. We didn't know how good Mike was at fire. Mike won and I was like, I'm done. Okay. At that point. But so I thought all these scenarios and lastly, bringing Marianne, a huge part of it, I'm going to be honest, was an emotional decision. You know, I had an alliance with Marianne. They didn't show it. I had the Underbirdie alliance with her and Omer. Because Omar hates dogs, so he didn't want the underdogs. He wanted the underbirds.
Omar hates dogs.
I'm not going to speak for him, but
revelation on the podcast.
When we said let's make an alliance of three of us, the underdogs, because at that point I didn't realize that Omar was playing all of us. I thought he was one of us before we voted him out. And he said, "No, I'm not a big fan of dogs. I love birds. Let's be the underbirds." So at that point, I had that emotional connection with Marianne, and she was a big supporter of me. You know, the times when I felt low and I was like, man, we're at the bottom. She was like, let's not give up. You know, the bottom's on top, the bottom's on top at some point. And she was right. When I won that immunity challenge, she was the first one to hug me and embrace me. So it was an emotional decision to bring her. I couldn't cut her at the end because I felt like if I'm going to lose, I'd rather lose to her. And also working with women in pageantry, she reminded me a lot of the young women that I work with back home. So I just couldn't do it. It became an emotional decision, Rob.
So was there a point in the post-merge game when you felt like, okay, now I finally got some momentum now, where there was a group of people that came together where you felt like that you had like a shot to work with a group of people and get to the end?
Well, here's the thing. I quickly realized that I was at the bottom. So my goal was, unfortunately, like you saw my final tribal council, I'm crying because that was not the game I intended to play. I intended to play the game that I was playing at the pre-merge the entire time. Mm-hmm. But those were the cards that I was dealt. So what I quickly realized was that just one more step, one more vote, one more vote. So people watching me throw these random votes for random people are like, man, what the hell's Romeo doing? He has no clue. Like, he's left out. I knew every time who was going, because guess what? Omar would pull me to the side and say, hey, this person's going, but you're going to get votes. So it's okay. You're the in case. But here's the problem with being the in case. If the main target pulls out an idol, if the main target plays her shot in the dark and it works, or the main target pulls out one of these random advantages of, you know, season 42 that we know we're all over the place and it worked, guess who was going home, Rob?
Yeah.
Me, right? Guess who was going home if we had a revote? Me. So my goal was like, I'm going to throw a vote for another person in case the main target does something. Guess who was going home? Not Romeo, the person that Romeo voted for. So a lot of times fans didn't understand what the hell is he doing. And I'm like, you know, you guys are forgetting about all these other stuff, idols, shot in the dark, advantages. I'm like, so I was playing a self-preservation game. So at that point, I felt I wasn't getting traction necessarily, but I felt like, okay, Romeo, as long as you get one more day. And that was unfortunately the game that I had to play. And that's what I did.
Romeo, you said that you stole the rice. Could you just explain how you stole the rice?
I mean, I didn't necessarily steal the rice because every time we would cook it, we would eat it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was still some. And by the way, we all picked at the damn pot and Lindsay did, too. Like, come on.
Who cares? Were they saving that for something?
No, it was just the scraps at the bottom. And guess what? I was the only one that didn't have a fake merge. I didn't have any rewards until Omar took me to that chocolate. And by the way, I hate chocolate. I still loved it. So I'm like, these people, but I knew what Mike was doing. As a matter of fact, Mike pulled me off to the side after and he's like, I feel really bad. And I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, I talked crap about you, about, you know, eating the rice, but I also did it because I have to, you know, I had to make Drea feel safe. And I'm like, Mike, don't worry. I talk crap about you every day in my confessionals. As a matter of fact, editors were very nice to me because I talked so much crap about everybody, you know, to the point where
this was your nice stuff that we saw.
Oh, that was the nice me. I'm like, they showed the little parts of me being mean. I'm like, I could be a lot meaner. I'm like, I was so mad out there, Rob. And I'm like, screw these people. All my confessionals were like, I can't wait to, you know, leave these people. I hope they drown. I want to hit them in the face with a baseball bat. Like, it was bad. It was bad. The producers were like, oh, we can't air that. So, so I mean, yeah, no, I wasn't stealing rice, but the rice that I was taking was Marianne was, not digesting the rice well. So she would leave her portion in the pot. So when everyone was gone, I was kind of eating her portion. That's what it was. But she was okay with it. I mean, she wasn't going to eat it anyway. So I wasn't stealing. But if I could, as a matter of fact, I regret not stealing. I should have just, well, they were down talking crap about me at the beach. What I should have done is I should have poured some rice in the pot, cooked it, and just ate it.
Yeah. I felt like that you were in a really tough predicament because, you know, you get to the merge and then, you know, you're playing hard and they're like, oh my God, Romeo is paranoid. And then, you know, you sort of adjust and stop doing that. It's like, oh no, look, Romeo is not doing anything.
Yeah.
Well, what do they want from you?
So at that point, it's like there was nothing that I can do because one of the biggest lessons that I learned, and I'm a super fan, Rob.
Yeah.
So going into it, you always hear perception is reality on Survivor. But when you're starving, you're not sleeping, you kind of forget about that. So even though I knew the game that I was playing and the alliances and relationships that I was doing, they didn't know that. And I didn't let them see it. So that was a problem. Their perception of me was wrong. And yeah. I blame myself for it. And that's what ended up getting me to be a Zero Vote finalist. Their perception of me was wrong. I wasn't paranoid. I was intuitive of what was happening around me. I saw that I lost my number one ally. I saw that I was left out. I knew that I was left out of the 8-person alliance. And I saw that people didn't want to play with me. So it wasn't paranoia. It was self-awareness, even though they perceived it as paranoia. But everyone was paranoid out there, Rob. Every single person at some point was paranoid. And at some point, I was no longer paranoid because I thought, oh, my strategy's working. One more day, just lay back and pretend that I'm not doing anything. And these people will eat each other up. And then me and Marianne would laugh. Bottoms on top, eventually.
Yeah. And then, Romeo, we saw during the course of the season, there were a couple of moments where you had talked about how that you had not come out to your family. There's also a great secret scene where you came out to the tribe. What was the reaction from your family when they got to watch all the episodes?
Yeah. So I just want to clarify, like I live my life as an out gay, proud gay man to my immediate family, to my friends, to my coworkers. But there's also an extended family, you know, that I haven't seen in a while that are very religious and they didn't know about me. They haven't seen me in years. So I knew that watching the show, they would know. So those were the ones that I was referring to. But their response after watching was very positive. They called me and, you know, crying, saying how, you know, they can't believe that I held it in for so long, that nothing changes, that they still love me, they're proud of me. But more so was the amazing response from the fans from around the world, kids who were messaging me on social media, just saying, you know, I'm watching the Survivor episode right now with my parents sitting on the couch and they don't know about me. So thank you for being so open and giving me the courage to maybe come out to them one day. And then parents would message me saying, you know, I was afraid that my son or daughter was part of the community and they didn't know how they were going to react. But seeing how vulnerable I was, they wanted to make sure that when their children do come out, if they come out, that they would be let them know that they accepted them and loved them and didn't want their children to feel the way that I felt. And then even messages from places around the world, like as far as Iran, where fans were, and I don't know how they were watching Survivor, maybe VPN. I didn't even know they got Survivor out there, but messages on my social media about how, you know, living in a country where it's frowned upon and they can't be open about it. Feeling seen and feeling represented meant so much to them. And I mean, how can you not feel like a winner already? I felt like a winner already.
Yeah. Romeo, thank you so much for that. I really appreciated getting to watch you on the season. Thank you for coming on and talking to me. And I hope that we get the chance to talk some more in the future, Romeo.
Of course. Thanks, Rob.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
All right, great job there by Romeo. And I felt like that Romeo really, in another season, like I feel like in the multiverse maybe, where he's playing with different people, like I do think that Romeo could have had a different fate. I mean, it seems like that there's a lot of times there's people that you feel like, okay, they're sort of like a limited player. They're not really great. It's unusual for somebody to have like a really such different first and second halves of the game, especially when it's not like, okay, they had a bad first half of the game and they really came into their own in the second half of the game. For Romeo, it's a much more unusual story, unless it's sort of like, okay, somebody was like way out in front and then ultimately has a fall and then they get voted out of the game. But it's very unusual to see somebody who is like doing so well in the first half of the game and then almost powerless in the second half of the game and can't really get anything going on. That's why I feel like that Romeo maybe in another season might have some different luck. So I don't know. Maybe could be a winner pick again for me down the road. We'll see. All right. Let's talk about the man that Romeo actually beat out to win the final four immunity challenge. That is no one else other than Jonathan Young, who joins us for our fourth place exit interview here on our Survivor 42 exit interview special. Hey, Jonathan, how are you? Rob Cesternino.
What's up, my friend?
Yeah, Jonathan, nice to talk to you. What a run it was for you in the game, getting to fourth place. You came up just short. Can you talk a little bit about how confident you were heading into the final four fire making against Mike?
I got to be honest with you, Mr. Rob. I wasn't. I feel like if you get confident in the game of Survivor, you're kind of losing.
Yeah.
So I never was completely confident in anything that I did. I was always able to move around and go, well, this could happen or this could happen. Did I think I could beat Mike at fire? Yeah, I thought I had a good chance of beating Mike. I thought maybe I could get in his head. He was trying to get in my head. It was a little battle. So, yeah, I wasn't too confident, but I thought it could definitely happen.
It seemed like at one point you set the flag on fire, which I had never seen before.
Yeah. Hey, man, the wind was blowing. And one thing that I did do is I noticed that most of the wind was on Mike's side.
Yeah.
So I got the first one closest to me. That's why if you look, I'm always looking back.
Yes. Yeah. You look
challenges.
At it. Yeah.
I look at that. I look at the challenges because I want to see where's the best spot that I can be in. I still think I got the best spot. I just wasn't as good as Mike.
Mm-hmm. Now you were dominant in the team challenges in a way that I don't think we ever saw before on the show. What did that mean to get that kind of response from people in terms of what you were able to do in the team competitions?
It meant a lot to me because when I was 14, I was in Fiji on this show called Endurance.
Yes.
And for 14 years, I wanted to see what I could do on the real Game of Survivor. And one of the times that it was like a surreal moment was when I had to help out Marianne and Omer when they were getting, you know, taken away by the current. And when I got out of the water and we won that challenge, Mr. Jeff was like, "How do you feel?" I was like, this is what I've been waiting for, Mr. Jeff. I feel great."
Yeah. And then how did the second half of the game shake out? I remember in your pregame interviews that we listened to, you had a plan. You talked about how you really wanted to be the provider. You wanted to dominate and use me as a shield in the first half of the game. Did you feel like, and you got to the final four, knocking on the door of the final three, did you feel like that it went the way that you thought it would go?
It went better.
Yeah.
I think that my plan went better because when I first was trying out for Survivor, everybody was going the big guy. You know, they're always going to be the pre-merge boot or the merge boot. It was constantly fed to me. I did want to prove everybody wrong because it was like a nag. It was like, "Oh, nope, you're gonna get kicked out as soon as it happens." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm gonna do my best to prove you wrong." I knew that I could hopefully get to the merge, but I changed things after a few days after the merge. I had enough energy built up to where I could still feed people for those first few days of the merge. I was catching fish. I was letting everybody know that I'll do whatever I can to serve you. After that, though, it gets different. I had to change my game. I communicated with people more. I had more of a social game.
Did you feel like you hit a wall at a certain point in the game? Because watching it from the show, it seemed like that, you had a lot of energy was, really, bringing in all the team challenges. But then, it seemed like you reached a point when then food became like a really big priority for you.
Yeah, Mr. Rob, it came down to, I think people were trying to starve me out when they were getting, they won the challenge for food. I would go, "Man, I hope they pick me. I hope they pick me." Elmer even said it. He's like, "I'm trying to starve Jonathan out."
Yeah.
And the day after that, I ended up passing out. I wasn't showed, but I'd never passed out in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like day 22, 23, I ended up on the ground. So yeah, the service, plan, like being a servant leader worked for a long time, but there came a point where if I would catch 10 fish and only eat one, and I spent all this energy catching and killing all these fish, then I was depleted. It worked a long time, but the last 5 or 6 days, I was really depleted. Yeah.
Can you talk about the idle nullifier that Omer first let us know about last week, which it turns out like was a really big part of the story of the season? And the story that Omer had told us was that you and him had found it together, and then it was something that was just a secret between the two of you throughout most of the game.
Yeah, so Omer and I went for a walk to the water well We went together. We were talking. Omer has never moved so quick in his whole life.
Yes.
Omer goes and he grabs the idol nullifier. And I thought that it was me. It was Omer and I that knew about it. I figured out later in the game, before Dre even got voted out, I figured out that Lindsay knew about it and things weren't adding up. The stories that Omer was telling me and the stories that Lindsay were telling me were completely different. I caught Lindsay before Omer could get to her. Mm-hmm. So immediately I go to Mike. I say, Mike, listen, Omer has an idol nullifier. You have an idol. Omer's going to use that idol nullifier against you on the next vote. So give him your idol, but get it back.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. That's why when you see in that episode after Dre gets voted out, that Mike's like, give me my idol.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he knew that there was something up, and that's there was kind of a gap there. And, but yeah, the idol nullifier fills that gap, and that's how it happened. And then hold on, let me tell you this. So Mike goes to Marianne. I go to Marianne. Our stories line up, which is one of the biggest things in Survivor, making sure your stories line up. So our stories line up. Marianne convinces Romeo, and then she has an extra vote. And then that's how Omer got voted out.
Mm-hmm. You know, we only get to see so much of the show. Do you feel like that there were parts of your story that we didn't get to see in the episodes?
Yeah, I did a lot of Survivor-esque things. Like I was climbing trees 30, 40 like feet in the sky, getting breadfruit. I was climbing trees, getting coconuts, spearing a lot of fish. Dude, I had an infection on my hand because I was shooting so many fish. The spear.
Right.
Great care of me, by the way. But yeah, I did a lot of things like that that they didn't show. Actually, in one of the episodes when me and Drea got in a tiff about catching fish.
Yes.
I wish they would have showed this. I did end up catching everybody fish right after that.
Yeah, it was a secret scene that that they showed you with like the pot filled with a little fish.
Okay, yeah. Good. I didn't even see that. I missed that.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Hey, look, they got to get to Do or Die. A lot of stuff going on in these episodes.
That's true.
Yeah. Were you surprised with that the few number of players that ended up going into the Do or Die the week that came up?
I was surprised because a lot of people told me, like, it doesn't matter what this is, I'm going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like straight up, there are people that were in the game that were going, hey, I'm going to play regardless, you know, a lot of competitors. So it was shocking, but I thought that it would be me and Lindsay anyways at the end. Cause Lindsay is like a female version of me. She's tough as nails.
Mm-hmm.
She, she's one of the best competitors for sure.
Mm-hmm. So in the final tribal council, Marianne had said that, if you had won the final four immunity challenge, you would have taken Mike into the final four fire making as a big move to beat Mike. Is that how you would have proceeded had you won the final four immunity challenge?
So that was up in the air.
Yeah.
Because you like flexibility is huge. And I didn't know if I was going to go in with Mike or if I was going to send Marianne with Mike to fire making. That was still up in the air for me.
Did you have multiple different versions of who you wanted to go to the final three with as the post-merge game proceeded?
Yeah, so as things move, I genuinely, it would change. I didn't have certain people. I could never be so stiff in my route. I can't be that stiff. I had to be flexible because I knew that if I'm stuck on one thing, then that can really hurt me.
Yeah. Did a lot of people talk to you about when you talked about 18 eggs, 9 pieces of cheese, and the grits. a lot of people had questions about this.
Yeah, and that was one of the biggest things that people remember about me was my diet. That's the funniest thing to me. I had a lot of people come up to me and be like, do you really eat 18 eggs, 9 pieces of cheese, and grits?
Yeah.
And I'm like, absolutely. Like, one of my hot spots is Waffle House. I don't even know if they have it all over the country, but down in the South, that's like a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's, That's in my regimen for sure.
Yeah. Are you ever like one day like, oh, I'm hungry, you're going to go 19 eggs?
Yeah, I feel like I've done more than 18 eggs for sure. Like it had to be in the 20s. There's a movie and there's this guy, he eats 50 eggs. I forget who it is.
Cool Hand Luke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day I want to beat his record.
Okay. All right. Well, that pretty good. How about, Jonathan, that do you feel like in some way that the 26-day game really was, you know, a better fit for you? Do you feel like that the 39-day game that you would have potentially, you know, hit that wall at an earlier point in the game?
Yeah. One of the things that I said was it doesn't matter what happens, I will not leave this game. So I understand it would have been longer, but also know that they gave you rice mm-hmm. at the beginning of a lot of the 39-day games. So no, I don't think it would have affected me. I would have had to change my plan a little bit.
Yeah.
I might would have had to sneak a couple of fish when I was out there and just eat sushi. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Straight up, I would just have to figure out how to sneak more food.
Jonathan, is there anything else that you want to let the listeners know about the game or the way you were portrayed on the show that you want to let people know before we have to run?
Yeah, I want everybody to know that I love the whole cast and that I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful to Survivor. I'm thankful to the Lord. And I'm thank you. Hey, that's one thing. I'm very thankful for the people that build all of these Survivor challenges. Mm-hmm. We got to thank the people that make the show happen. It's like a wall of 100 people
sure.
that make all this happen before the challenge. And it's like you're in an arena, a gladiator arena. And all these people work so hard and they're experts at their job. And I don't know, I got to thank them personally, but I'd like to thank them again.
Okay. Jonathan, thank you so much. And very nice to talk to you today. All the best. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Rob.
All right. Take care. Bye. Everybody, there you have it. Jonathan Young. And as Jeff said during the season, I don't know if I'm going to get used to the Mr. Rob thing. I don't know if it's going to catch on, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel. Anyway, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to our fifth place finisher. That is none other than Lindsay, the fighter, who'll be here with me to talk about her game right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey, Lindsay, what's going on? Rob Sestrino, very nice to be talking to the fighter herself.
Ah, that was such an awesome tagline. Thanks, Rob. I'm really excited to chat with you today. I know you're going to grill me, so
no,
bring it on.
We'll talk, but I feel like a grilling implies that this is like an inquisition.
No, it's more so like I know you just get like you dig in there with all the good behind the scenes of like what all the strategy moves are. So not in a bad way.
Yeah.
Just in terms of a serious survivor digging.
We try to be very serious and then also talk about a lot of the nonsense. But Lindsay, could you just talk a little bit to us about your decision at the final tribal council to decide between Mike and Marianne? You ultimately vote Marianne. Was that a difficult decision?
It was difficult in general to decide who. I went in slightly feeling a little bit more strong towards Mike, but then it was more so there was too many question marks. There were too many unknowns for me to make an honest decision. So I knew a little bit more of Mike's gameplay than Marianne's at the time. So that's why I was a little veering more that way. But ultimately, I was like, Marianne needs to explain her game, have a strong answer, prove herself and stand strong. And she did exactly that. She really showed how socially aware she was of everyone, mm-hmm. of how she was orchestrating the game. She's so impressive. So I wanted to see all that knowledge she had and how she utilized it. And at one point, Jeff was like, guys, I think we got to wrap it up and decide. I was like, I don't really think I'm ready. Are you guys ready? And no mm-hmm. one was really ready. I'm like, we need more time. So then Jeff let us have more time. And then we asked Marion a question. And that's when she brought out her idol that she showed. And we're like, oh, why'd you wait so long to show us this? That was a huge turning point that she even had that in her pocket that she didn't even need to use, along with how she orchestrated herself to get to six. So extremely impressive. And I love her. She's awesome.
Yeah. Lindsay, I'm really curious to know your reaction to, you know, Marianne takes out the idol. And on the one hand, it's like, wait, you could have saved me. You could have kept me in the game. Were you at all annoyed about the fact that she could have used it, or did you take it as in some ways a compliment that she felt like she couldn't beat you?
It was a compliment. I wasn't mad at all because she kept saying to me, like, I promise you, Jonathan will be gone tomorrow. And she was like oddly very certain. And now looking back, it's because she had an idol. She chose to play it on me. But before we went to tribal, she said to me, she's like, I'm so sorry, but I can't take you. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to so badly, but I will not win. And she was crying. And I knew how honest she was. And she's just such a great person. And we became so close out there throughout our time that I very much respected her just saying that to me and being honest. So I knew going into tribal, I'm like, I'm going home because Marianne knows that she's not, like, I know what she's going to do. So when she did that, it was like, good for you. You take that all. So I was very happy for her. No regrets on that whatsoever.
So, Lindsay, it seemed like that you really had your sights set on Jonathan through much of the second half of the game. But a lot of people felt like from the outside that Jonathan would have been a pretty good person to sit at the end of the game with. For you, why was it so important to get Jonathan out?
Yeah, okay. So I was excited to answer this. So yes, Jonathan would have been a better person to sit at the end. However, Jonathan's the only physical competitor that might win a challenge and he will not take me. I knew for a fact he wouldn't take me. So removing that option, I felt much more in control of who was going to win that challenge to take somebody to the end that I felt a better chance of going. So I knew he wouldn't take me. He's the only one really in my way of having that opportunity. But also when Chanel left at Tribal, she said to all of us, Jonathan better not make it to the end. So my pitch to everybody was, we're going to look like idiots if we keep Jonathan in, because everyone knows that that was our goal to get him out for so long. And he's still here. So I was trying to make that my pitch to everybody else for the reason why, to not look bad to the jury, when really it was my personal gain because I knew he would not take me to sit alongside of him. So that was really that. But I think more of like the undertone was the fact of I knew I wasn't being respected equally by him. So then I can't say anything. It's a social game. So I have to keep that to myself. So instead I'm like, I'm going to beat you at the one thing you're good at. So that mm-hmm. was where like my underlying frustration and competitiveness was to him. But ultimately it was still strategy for that reason.
Can you talk a little bit about how long it took you to find at the toes of the giant, that's where the treasure lies?
Yeah. Honestly, it had to have been like at least 40 minutes and I was the only one running around. I remember Marianne telling me afterwards, her and Romeo were like, yeah, we just played dead because we didn't want them to do anything. So we just threw it. And I'm like, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Like, it was really sweet. But I knew, and it was funny because at the end, I was like, this is where my mind was going in the beginning, because I know in other seasons, it's always some giant landmark. But for some reason, like with that riddle, I was so narrowed in on it has to be Roots of a Tree, even though I knew it wasn't. I was like, I know there's something else, but I literally cannot think of any other thing it could be. So I run around like crazy. And then I started at the other end of the island outside. Then I was like, okay, let me go inward because everyone's probably in there and I'm worried they're going to find it. Then I'm like, there's a whole other side of the island. There's a giant thing there. That's definitely the giant of this whole island, looks like a giant. And that's the foot. But it definitely took a while. And I was literally like right by it as I'm climbing up that damn stones or the toe itself I'm climbing up. And it's like right down there and I didn't see it. So it was a while.
Yeah. Can I ask you about the do or die? I know you talked about it at the finale after show. I'm not sure if we call it a reunion still at this point. But
I think after show is more appropriate.
After show. Yeah. So that Jeff asked you about the do or die, and he said that you seem to enjoy the do or die. Was that accurate?
I mean, when I was safe, I enjoyed it. Okay. I would have probably had, I'm so happy I was safe because I would have been kicking myself consistently for that dumb decision. Like, I know it was a bad move and I got ahead of myself because I already knew beforehand I plan on winning this challenge. So therefore this doesn't apply to me because I wasn't thinking it all the way through. But no, afterwards I was like, this is so cool. I love Survivor. This is awesome. But if I went home, I would have been very angry with myself.
Were you mad at everybody else of like, really? Nobody else wanted to be in the challenge today?
I wasn't angry with it. I mean, Mike has a bad shoulder, so I should have known he wasn't going to play. Marianne and Romeo, I should have known weren't really going to play. Marianne knows that she's bad at balance. Romeo is like lucky that he hasn't passed out yet. Mm-hmm. And then Drea was really the only other person left. And I figured, I don't know, she's allergic to coconut. She hasn't been eating much. I think she's been kind of struggling in challenges. So she might not do it because she's smart enough to know not to waver this risk. But then the other end of it, which is also difficult for me, is well, first off, I said, I was like, I will be the one to have to be Jonathan here because that's what we need to do. But if I really assessed it and realized it would have been down to me and Jonathan and then me choosing not to play, it would have eaten me up inside for Jonathan to get that praise of like, ooh, everyone's too scared to play against me. And I just got handed an immunity. That would have been tough to like accept. So I think that's where my competitive nature still kind of stuck in there.
Even though you got the box right, were there a lot of people telling you that you made the wrong decision and you were supposed to switch?
Yeah. Like, tell me I made the wrong decision. I made the right choice. This just goes to show the Monty Hall problem might not always be that statistically accurate, especially when it's down to three. And also, I went with my gut. So what I have to say to all those people, your gut is going to be a stronger answer of the right way than statistics, I would say.
Okay. All right. That might be a controversial statement.
I mean, I got the right box. What else do you want me to say? Argue with me all you want.
Can you talk a little bit about your game in the pre-merge? I felt like that, you know, we did get a lot more of your story in the second half of the game. But in the first half of the game, I feel like that we didn't get to see so much of what was going on. Was there anything interesting that you think people would want to know about your game from the first half?
Yeah, that was all planned. Like, I mean, not the edit. I don't control the edit. But in terms of being under the radar, very, very much so. So Jonathan was a very big, obviously physical specimen. And he really wanted to be out in the show and being the first one in front of everyone. So I'm like, go for it. Let everybody see that you're so great. I don't want people's eyes on me. I didn't want anybody to know what I was good at. I did not make fire once while I was out there. I helped with the fire, but I didn't start any of them purposely because I didn't want anyone to know. And then Omer and Marianne, go do the puzzles. You guys are puzzle people, do it. I clearly can do puzzles too, because I did the triangle puzzle and I am good at puzzles, but I don't need people to see that of all the other tribes. So I just was trying to be the extra helping out and just really not being shown of any of my ability to any other tribe while I was out there, which really helped when we got in. Everyone's eyeballs were on Jonathan. No one's really paying attention to me. And I'm like, look, little of you guys know, I'm going to come in balls, guns blazing and be a very good competitor. So that was really where I was. But me and Omer became very tight even out there that they really didn't show. Me and Marianne were close too, but I think Omer was definitely my tightest ally that they didn't really show. They made it seem as if like I didn't really have a close alliance with anybody, but I definitely did.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, it seemed like Jonathan in the early days of the game, they made it seem like that was your closest.
They did make it seem that way. Yes, that was 100% not what was going on. It was very funny that everyone just assumes because I don't know, I guess because we're both physical that you just assume we're a pair. That's not at all how that works. And in no way were we that close of a pair. It was something that worked in my favor in the merge, in the sense that no one had any idea that me and Omar were working together, because they just assumed me and Jonathan were together. But I was worried of the thought of being a power couple or whatever, because usually what happens is if one of them wins immunity, they cut off the limb of the other. And I don't want to be that sacrificial lamb due to being looked at as a duo. I'm my own individual player, and treat me as so. So it was a difficult maneuver, but that's also why when I said to Hi, you want to get Jonathan out, I was very honest about that before the pizza reward, because I also realized that people still very strongly felt that me and Jonathan were so tight. And I'm like, why does everyone think that we're tight? Like, mm-hmm. No, we've done nothing to show that we're tight. This has all been everyone's assumption. And Drea said to me something like, yeah, I thought you and Jonathan were tight, that Jonathan's doing that. I'm like, why do you think Jonathan's the one making all the moves? Like, it's me. Mm-hmm. And then I had to tell Hi, I'm like, I am fine with getting Jonathan out. So I put that nugget in there, which worked very much in my favor when we did the pizza reward. When we switched it on Hi, I was like, oh, this is great, because I already told Hi we're going to do Jonathan. So that nugget's already been planted. So when we come back, easy sell. So that really helped there too.
Okay. I feel like there's a lot more to unpack there. But
bring me for the deep dive.
Yeah, ready. Okay, done. So it seemed like everybody was worried about going to the end with Omar, except for you, seemingly. Did you feel like that? Did you have a plan to get rid of Omar further on at four? Or did you feel like that you had a good shot against Omar?
I really, really had a hard time being able to get rid of him, and really anybody that I liked, I had a hard time. But ultimately it was because I didn't feel that there was a clean sweep of somebody beating me. I didn't realize how good Omar was playing. I knew he was a good player, but I felt like our games were different enough that if I pitch it, I think I still have a good shot, because I'm well-rounded. And I had a very good alliance. I had a very good relationship with pretty much everyone on the jury. So I felt it was a risk, but I didn't think it was necessarily a chance. I still thought I had a chance to win, so I felt confident in that. But also now knowing how great Omar was, if we made it to the end, the only way I would have beat him is due to a bitter jury.
Okay. The amulet was definitely a part of this season. Can you talk a little bit about anything? Like, did it potentially ever get talked about being used, any of the amulet powers?
Yeah, so I will give a short version, and if you bring me on the deep dive, I'll tell you the whole thing. But so, yes, so Omar told me about the nullifier and told me that Jonathan told him not to tell me about it. And then we figure out the knowledge is power advantage. So I go back to Mike and I tell him, give Omar your idol. We're keeping you safe for the knowledge is power. Then Jonathan approaches me, and then that gets exposed that I know about it. So now he turns on Omar and tells Jonathan, he turns on Omar and tells Mike that about this nullifier. And now Mike immediately goes after me. Now, me and Mike were very tight, and they didn't show that in the edit, but we were extremely close. So I was trying to say to him, like, I'm still trying to save you. I want to work with you. And he was so convinced that me and Omar were both feeling very vindictive, which Omar was doing it, but I wanted to save him. If I played my idol for Omar in that moment, Mike would have never believed me. And then Marianne would have known how close I was with Omar. And at the time, I felt keeping my bond strong and my social game was still very important by five. Now knowing at five really doesn't matter. Just get to five. Yeah. But then again, not really, because I got to five and I had no shot of getting any farther. So it probably would have benefited me to keep Omar longer, because Omar wanted to work with me. He might not take me to the end, but we did talk about it. And I was like, why would you take me to the end? Like, we're both very good. He's like, I don't know. I feel like we have different games and I think it's fine. So who knows if he would have taken me to the end, but it would have been better, because once it was Mike and Jonathan together, forget it. The two of them were impossible to change their minds about, and they were just keeping each other safe. So I should have played it, but at the time it did feel right, especially with the very minimal time that there was to figure everything out.
Okay. Lindsay, so I think we're out of time for today, but hope to get the longer version of the story sometime soon. Anything real quick else you want to let people know?
Yeah. The cake and cookies was a better choice. Much smarter choice than the chicken and the veggies.
Okay. So, and that's yeah. From a nutritionist.
Yeah. From a dietitian standpoint, that was 100% the smarter move, because chicken and veggies is maybe what? 200 calories total. And then the cake and cookies are at least 500 each, plus the fact that it's all carbs and fat. Fat for your brain to function, carbs for your body to function. So especially with only so many days left, 100% the better choice.
Good to know. All right. For our future Survivor players, pick the cookies and the cake. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Lindsay, thank you so much. All the best outside of the show. Okay.
Great speaking with you. Thanks so much,
Very
Rob.
Very nice to talk to you too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Recording
okay.
stopped.
Thank you, Lindsay. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Hope we can talk soon. Okay. Bye.
Hell yeah. That was fun.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. The final five exit interviews from Survivor 42. Excited to hear that Lindsay wants to talk more after the season. Yeah, I feel like that we're going to have a good crop of postseason interviews. I just always ask for a little bit of patience with getting those out because, one, I feel like that the Survivors need a little bit of time to breathe at the end of the season. So maybe they don't want to necessarily do a deep dive, you know, a day or two after the season is over. Sometimes they do. But we also want to get the clearance from CBS before we get these longer interviews. So believe me, I want to get to them as much as you want to hear them, I hope. And so we will work on that here over the next couple of weeks into June. Kind of a light content schedule in terms of a lot of the shows that we cover as we wait for Big Brother about you know 5 or 6 weeks from now. But I'm sure we'll have plenty of other fun stuff coming your way here on the podcast, even when all of our shows are not necessarily in season. Plenty going on in our Survivor podcast feed. Wall-to-wall coverage of this finale. You can get it all at robinswebsite.com or subscribe at robinswebsite.com/survivorfeed. Thank you again for hanging with us for another season of Survivor. I believe this is my 23rd season of covering Survivor here on Rob is a Podcast. It's still so much fun. The great joy of my professional life is getting to talk about this show season after season with you. So thank you so much for hanging around. Looking forward to more Survivor this fall once again with you. But thanks for coming again with me on this ride for season 42 of Survivor. And of course, make sure you're subscribed for everything else we're going to do in the Survivor postseason, including our long form interviews. Thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.